Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Proverbs 3:13, happy. The Bible uses the word happy many times, but it has to be defined by the whole of Scripture. In one place, the Bible says, happy is the man whom the Lord chasteneth. Isn't that interesting, right? If you want to be happy, you got to let the Lord change you, to child train you, to chasten you, to spank you sometimes when you do things that aren't pleasing to Him. That's proof that God loves us. Happy is the man whom the Lord chasteneth. And we're going to find a reference, just so you'll know, that's in the Bible, and it's going to be in the book of Proverbs. Well, it's in Proverbs. It's also in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Let's just back up one verse. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. That's verse 12. For whom the Lord loveth, He does what? Corrected. So if you're being corrected by God, what does that tell us? That tells you He loves you, right? All right, so verse 12, for whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. So we know that we're in the love of God when He's correcting us. Now, if we're not being corrected by God, we really need to get concerned. Even as a father, the son in whom He delighteth. Every one of us who has children knows that we corrected our children because we love them. We wanted them to go in the right way of the Lord. Amen. So we wanted to associate pain and suffering with wrongdoing. In Proverbs 22:6, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. We've been talking about wisdom last week, and we're asking God, as I'm praying for each one of you every morning, would increase His wisdom in each of us. Some would define wisdom as the ability to wield the sword of knowledge. So wisdom, the ability, one of the ways we could define it, I don't think this is a complete definition, and you can search out the definition of wisdom. We do know that in the book of Proverbs, right there in the beginning, it says the fear of the Lord, verse 7 of chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Understanding knowledge comes out of the fear of the Lord. In another place, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom or understanding. So the fear of the Lord is something we see throughout Scripture, and it births the wisdom of God in us. When we fear Him, we pray that He will fill us with His wisdom on how to walk each step in this life in a way that's glorifying to Him. Verse 14, Proverbs 3, for the merchandise of it is better. The merchandise of what? Wisdom. He's talking about happy is the man that findeth wisdom. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver or dollars, dinero, money, and the gain thereof than fine gold. So he says it's more important to get wisdom than it is to get money. And think about how hard we work to get money when we should, as the children of God, take a step back and realize and aggrandize what God counts to be important. And that would be, in this case, His wisdom in us. It's interesting to note that the word wisdom appears 54 times in the 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs. Verse 14, Proverbs 3, for the merchandise of it, that's wisdom from God, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain, making increase thereof, than fine gold. Verse 15, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Verse 15, notice poetically the poetic books of the Bible are from Job through Song of Solomon. And the whole Bible, in the whole Bible, we find figurative, illustrative language, but none of the books do such more than the poetic books. So the prose, if you will, of the prose of the poetic is what we're talking about here. And it's the figurative language that speaks in illustration form. It illustrates. So you got to think about that. Notice verse 15. She, that's wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Now, think about men and women who sit in jail today. Maybe their wealth increased, but they didn't have wisdom to function in life. And so that wealth just added to who they were. And they were people without a lot of wisdom. And they made some bad decisions. Somebody has once said that your gifts can take you further than your character can contain or can sustain. You get that picture? Sometimes our wealth can take us further than our character can sustain us. I once saw a video clip. It was very, very, very disheartening, and I could never forget it. It was years ago of a young boy who was running from the police in his vehicle, and he shot across the road. It was a busy highway, and a truck hit him, instantly taking his life. And it's very sad how we can do that sometimes. We can live recklessly and not walk in wisdom and avoid things that could have easily been avoided if we were walking in wisdom. The Bible says also in Proverbs to go not forth hastily. Don't proceed with haste. It really is true that haste makes waste. Wisdom would come with a temperance. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and God delighteth in his way. The steps, not the leaps, not the jumps, not the flights, but each step. How many people, by a raising of your hands, want to walk in the wisdom of God each step of the way? So the question arises naturally, and it should in each of our hearts. Lord, I'm realizing now that I need more wisdom. God, I need your wisdom. And so how do we get the wisdom of God? How do we get it? We get the wisdom of God from drinking from his fountain of wisdom. That means drinking from the word of God, number one. Also, the word of God tells us to ask for more wisdom, right? We pray for it. Amen. James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, and every one of us lacks wisdom, let him what? Ask of God. And God's going to give it to him generously, liberally. How many people are excited to get more of the wisdom of God? Amen. What a blessing. Verse 16 of Proverbs 3, length of days is in her right hand. Wait a minute. The wisdom of God is going to lengthen your days? Yeah. Length of days is in her right hand. Now, here's some of the fruit of walking in the wisdom of God, length of days. And then it says, and in her left hand, true riches and true honor and length of days come from the increase of God's wisdom in our lives. Verse 17, more of the fruit of walking in God's wisdom. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. So we see two key words here, pleasantness and peace come with wisdom. Verse 18, she, it's a female personification here, is the picture. Again, poetic language or writing is pictorial. God giving us a picture of things we understand in the natural and bringing forth a heavenly truth via that natural illustration. So picturing wisdom as a female, as a beautiful woman, it says she is a tree of life. not death, but life, to them that what lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Notice, we must lay hold on and retain the wisdom of God. Verse 19, Proverbs 3, it says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth." Amen. Creation was all undergirded with and involving the wisdom of God. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. That's way above my ability to describe. It seems very self-evident that the divine wisdom of God was incorporated and involved in the founding of the earth, and the establishing of the heavens was his understanding. Everything we see in creation, thinking about creative design, for example, recently, you know, there's many uses of everything God gave us on the earth, and he gave it to us, mankind, because we are created in his image. Nothing else in his creation is made in his image except mankind. We are the apple of his eye concerning creation. Recently, I realized that if you cut open an onion, now this is just one little example, please forgive the example, if you will, but if you cut open an onion and you rub it on your skin where the mosquitoes bite, they will no longer bite you. So you have an organic cure and solution to mosquitoes biting, instead of having to spray yourself with all these poisonous things and poison your house by spraying mosquito spray that they make in these aerosol cans. You can just cut open an onion, rub it where the mosquitoes normally bite you, and they won't bother you. So everything in God's creation has a purpose. It has his wisdom behind it. And sometimes, and probably most of the time, there are many different uses for the things God created. All right, while we're being specific, here's another thing. I've got like a little spray bottle. You can buy empty spray bottles, and I fill it with white vinegar. I guess we call that table vinegar. So if a fly or some insect that is intruding upon your home, your kitchen or whatever, you just spray them with the white vinegar instead of having to spray some kind of poison into your environment for your family to absorb into your skin or breathe in. Amen. And so there are many, many what we call home remedies where you wonderful ladies that God so magnificently created have found out so many beautiful things about so much of and so many parts of and components of God's creation, which were all made by his wisdom. And many of these things have been lost. I've noticed you can buy these books that go back to the early 1900s and the 1800s when the women, the mothers and grandmothers, the wealth of wisdom in the use of God's creation, it was absolutely incredible and voluminous, just huge. Oh, the manifold wisdom passed down from generation to generation. And when you start reading some of that, you scratch your head and go, oh my. Then you start to see how Revelation 18:23 speaks of, "By thy sorceries were all nations deceived." So Satan has come down with great wrath in this last day. And one of the ways is to poison the people. Remember, he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Step back for a minute with me. Has any man, this is a question, has any man ever created anything? And what's the answer? Not only no man has ever created anything. So think about the danger with me for a moment of diabolically inspired men unnaturally mixing chemicals and substances out of their naturally occurring balances. Then you can imagine a world where people are deceived into taking things into their own life bloodstream that's full of carcinogens and unnatural chemicals that God made imbalanced. And you can see the catastrophe and the death and destruction that's gonna and is already occurring. I want to point out a verse. Now, our main text today is Proverbs chapter 3, but I want to point out Proverbs 8, verse 12. All right, Proverbs 8:12, I, wisdom, Notice, like, it's being spoken of in a personification type of communication here. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and what? Find out knowledge of witty inventions. Oh, don't you love this verse? How many people want to have the wisdom of God and the witty inventions taught by the wisdom of God? That's a good verse to memorize and to remember, Proverbs 8:12. Prudence here is defined as practical wisdom or wisdom in action, choosing the best means to an end, hence witty or practical inventions. Back to chapter 3, and we are in verse 20. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 20. By his knowledge, that's the divine knowledge of God, the depths, sounds like the oceans, are broken up. That's an interesting topic right there. And the clouds drop down the dew. Now, this goes deep into creation. We're not going to break all of this down, but I will tell you something I've been talking with a few friends about. It's the continental divide. Now, isn't this an interesting topic? I mean, the Bible is so interesting. There's no book, no source of knowledge that can even come within a billion universes of the interesting nature of Holy Scripture. In chapter 10 of Genesis, I'm just going to read this to you. After the flood, it speaks of Peleg, a man named Peleg. And it says, "For in his days was the earth divided." Wait a minute. The earth was divided? Yeah. If you go back in the creation, you're going to find that the earth was one landmass. And after the flood, the landmass was broken up. And that's why we have continents today. But if you look at a world map, a flat world map, you'll see that basically if you put all the landmasses together, it looks pretty clearly like they would all fit like a puzzle. Isn't that interesting? Verse 20, by his knowledge, the depths, and that would be probably the waters, are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. So that happened by the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God. Before we move past verse 20 here, it looks like there was a continental divide. One of the things that seems to coincide with such a theory, and it did say that in his days was the earth divided. That means it was in one landmass and then it was split up. That seems to account for how the indigenous peoples of the Americas, though their language be Spanish, because the Spanish from Europe came over here and colonized them, their bloodlines are of the indigenous people. And they look very much like the Asians of China and the other beautiful people of that Asian world. But if you connected China together, you remove the Pacific Ocean, what do you have? You have China landmass connecting with the west coast of America, California, right? And all of the Central and South American nations also. So think about how when the land was divided, it was all of those beautiful Asian people of the sons of Shem. Remember, the whole earth was overspread by the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Anyway, very, very interesting. And one of my closest friends is from the Philippines. And I tell him, these people in Mexico look so much like your people. Obviously, the Philippines are Asian people. Anyway, I'm just throwing that in. That won't cost you anything extra, but that's interesting. Verse 21 here, and we'll come in for a landing here in just a minute. My son, Proverbs 3:21, my son, he says, and that would be all of his sons and daughters he's speaking to. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Let not what? The words of God. Remember, in the beginning of this chapter, he's talking about the words of God and not letting his law, never forgetting his law, his words, keeping his commandments, verse 1, all right? So he's referring back to that. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Christianity, discipleship 101, don't ever stop feeding your eye gates and your ear gates, feeding the word of God through those eye gates. Amen. Keep the word flowing into your mind and heart every day, no matter what. I saw the testimony of a lady who is 90 something years old. And she testified to her salvation in Christ being the most important thing that ever happened. And then she begins to minister to Christians. I can't even believe this woman is that old. She looks like she's about 70 or less. And she's so full of life. And she expressed how important it is to stay, to get in the Word every day, and to stay in the Word no matter what. Verse 21, again, my son, let not them, that's the words of wisdom, the words of God, depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Lay them up and keep them, retain them. Amen. All right, verse 22, Proverbs 3. So shall they, the words of God, the wisdom of God. Remember, the words of God are the wisdom of God, and the wisdom of God is the word of God. So shall they be life unto thy soul. See, the word of God gives life, not death, but life, and grace to thy neck. So we get life and we get grace by the words of God's wisdom as we ingest them, devour them, and walk in them. Verse 23, then, that is, after you're full of the wisdom of God, shalt thou walk in thy way safely. Oh, did anybody else catch that? If you want to walk safely, you got to walk in the wisdom of God. Then, when the word of God is ruling in your heart, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, because you're walking in wisdom, and thy foot shall not stumble. So this speaks of direction and guidance into the right path. I mean, as we mentioned earlier, how many people you think there are sitting in jail right now who wished that they could take back decisions they made in the past, which were not by the wisdom of God? You think there's a few hundred thousand of them here in America alone? What do you think? And as we close here today, forget those that are actually in literal incarceration. Think about all of the times that we committed sin because we didn't walk in the wisdom of God, and how for years that tormented us and kept us in jail, in bondage, in our own minds and hearts. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you. We love you. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for your ultimate perfect sacrifice on the cross for our sins, shedding your precious blood. And then you were buried and raised again from the dead, conquering death, hell, sin, and the grave. And we know you're coming back soon. And Father, for each person under the hearing of your word and wisdom and Holy Ghost right now, we pray for an increase exponentially in your wisdom and in the fear of God, and a greater and greater hunger to walk in your wisdom and to devour your word in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I got kicked off of Facebook recently, and so I just count that as a blessing. And you're being moved to a new place. You're being, a new door is opening. Whatever door God closes, no man can open, Jesus said. And whatever door God opens, no man can close. I believe Revelation 3, in Jesus' name.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.